Today's Palm Sunday. I'm going to ask you to turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 12. And we're going to read a few scriptures there of the triumphal entry of Jesus. Amen. And we find it in the Gospel of John in the 12th chapter from verse 12 down to verse 19. John chapter 12. The 12th verse down to verse 19. You know, we often talk about, amen, when we are reading the gospel, to be mindful of things that are recounted in other gospels as well, so that we can get the fullness of what God is saying. And so, as we turn to John 12, I also would like you just to write down, I don't believe we're going to look there, but who knows, God may bring us there. The other places in the Bible where we also see the triumphal entry, because I know there are some Bereans in the house who are going to go home and check the scriptures. Amen. To see whether what the preacher said was true.
Amen.
Amen. So for those of you who want to, amen, just to, for ease of reference, amen, Matthew 21, verse 1 through 11, Mark 11, 1 through 11, and Luke 19, 28 through 40. We may or may not look at any of those, but again, for those who may want to either later today or at some point, amen, go back and read all of those, amen, to be blessed by God, we just want to give those, amen?
Amen.
But today we're in John chapter 12, verse 12. Let's begin there. We're going to read down to verse 19. Let's look together. The triumphal entry. It says, on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they had heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that comes in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king comes sitting on a donkey's colt. These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people therefore that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead bear record. For this cause, the people also met him, for that they had heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's pray, and then we'll incline our hearts and our ears unto the Lord. Father, to you we give glory and honor and praise. To you, O God, we give you all the majesty because you alone are God. And Father, as we come before you now, we are grateful for this time to hear from you, O God. Father, we're praying that you will speak unto us, O Lord. That Father God, that you will speak a word to your people, O God, generally, and a word specifically, God. Father, you know the situation of every person in here, O God. Every person under the sound of my voice, God, you know exactly where they are.
Yeah.
Father, I pray today that you will speak to your people exactly where they are.
Yeah.
And that, Father God, that your word will bring them out, will bring them through, will bring them over anything that is coming against them. Father, I thank you right now for wisdom.
Yes.
I thank you right now, oh God, for understanding. I thank you right now for revelation. I pray all of this and more upon your people in the name of Jesus. And we give you the praise for it. Father, I humble myself under your hand now. I decrease. God, increase in this place,
yes,
O God. You alone be exalted. You alone be glorified and magnified. For you alone are God, and you alone are worthy. We bless you. We praise you now for the word of God. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen. So be it. Amen. Our title today is Behold Your God. Amen. Behold your God. Amen. the triumphal entry of Jesus. You know, we Palm Sunday, Easter Sunday, Christmas, amen. They seem to all bring us to the same scriptures, right? At certain times, and you know, we praise God for it because I don't care how many times you read a scripture and how familiar it is to you. You know something. You can get fresh revelation from it. No matter how many times you've read it.
Yeah, that's true.
God can take that scripture and you say, I've never seen that before. Anybody ever had that kind of experience? Mm-hmm. I've never seen that before. I've read this account dozens of times. Yeah. I've never seen that. God blesses you with something new. And so we praise God. We never get so familiar with the Bible that we become dismissive.
Amen.
Amen? You can be dismissive of your coffee table in your living room if you want. Amen? Because it's been in your house for a while and you don't even look at it anymore. Remember when you first got it? You looked at that thing. Smudge got on it. You went right on it. Man, you went through so much ant dust. You keep that thing nice. Now, don't let me come. That table gets no attention, amen. Why? Because it's familiar, amen. I pray that you ain't got none of this on your Bible, amen. Your Bible's clean. Why? Because you're always using it, amen. Praise God. But the Word of God, we don't ever want to get so familiar with it that we become dismissive.
Amen. Yeah.
So yes, we're looking at the triumphal entry. And you know, there's something interesting as I was looking at these four accounts in each of the Bible. You know, in Matthew and in Mark, right before the account of the triumphal entry, we have Jesus healing blind Bartimaeus. Matthew said it was two blind men. Mark said it was blind Bartimaeus. I guess blind Bartimaeus, who was, you know, there were two of them yelling, "Have mercy on me, son of David." Blind Bartimaeus probably had the biggest mouth, as far as Mark was concerned, but Mark gave him the headline, amen. But Jesus healed them, and it's interesting because he said, what do you want me to do for you? That's what he said. What do you want me to do for you? And they said that we may receive our sight. And he says, it be unto you according to your faith. And they received their sight. And so Jesus, amen, healed, gave sight back to the blind. Mm-hmm. Right before the triumphal entry in Mark and in Matthew. In Luke, he healed the blind, but then he went to Zacchaeus' house. Remember Zacchaeus? Mm-hmm. Who got up into the sycamore tree because he was too short. Jesus was passing by, and he had to climb up into the tree.
Yeah.
And Jesus came by and called him by name. Mm-hmm. Said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. Mm-hmm. And the scripture says, Zacchaeus made haste and came down. And Jesus said, because I have to eat at your house today. Mm-hmm. And he went, he ate at Zacchaeus' house. And Zacchaeus, who was a tax collector, right? He was cheating people. Mm-hmm. Right? Because tax collectors were cheating people. They would take more than they were supposed to. And Zacchaeus said, if I took more that I'm supposed to from people, I'm going to pay him back four times as much. Mm-hmm. And you know, people were mad at Jesus because he's eating at Zacchaeus' house. And Jesus and Zacchaeus, you know, confessed and said, listen, if I've done wrong, I'm going to make right.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, today salvation has come to this house. Mm-hmm. But then he said this. He said that the Son of Man had come to seek and save that which is lost. Mm-hmm. Amen. So, you know, right before the triumphal entry, amen, Jesus is healing people, and he's declaring his purpose. I've come to seek and to save those that are lost. I praise God for that. Because even though you and I came thousands of years later, how many of you know, when we first got on this scene, and for however long we walked on this earth, we were lost, amen?
Yeah.
Anybody ever saw that show, Lost in Space?
Yeah.
Remember that? Danger, Will Robinson, remember that? And Lost in Space? Some of us were lost in the earth, amen? Right? We were lost in the earth until Jesus saved us, amen? And praise God for that, amen? Because we could not save ourselves. In the Gospel of John, amen, Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. That happened in John chapter 11. And when you look at John chapter 12, it begins by telling us that Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. I praise God for that. Lazarus, who had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. You know, see, that's what Jesus can do for you, amen. That, listen, there's some things in your life that had been dead, and Jesus can raise them from the dead.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Some people have some dead marriages. Your marriage had been dead, but Jesus raised it from the dead.
Yeah. Yeah.
Somebody right now, your finances are dead, amen. Flatline, amen. But see, there's going to come a time when you're going to say, my finances, which had been dead, Jesus raised them from the dead.
Yeah.
Your hopes are dead. Your dreams are dead. But they have been dead. But Jesus can raise them from the dead.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Death don't scare God.
That's right.
Death don't make God tremble. Amen. Why? Because he is the giver of life.
Yes,
he is. Amen. And so he came, and he came to Bethany, because Lazarus now is alive. And he came to Lazarus' house, and he's eating dinner, and Martha, because Martha loved to serve, amen. Martha be in there, you know, burning the pots, amen. And she was serving, and they had dinner. But so he's at their house, and it's important to say that to mention that, because as we read about the triumphal entry, that all the crowd that was there, in verse 18. It says, for this cause, the people came out to meet him. So many people had come out to see Jesus because they had heard that he had raised Lazarus from the dead.
Yeah.
In other words, they had gotten news, they had gotten wind of that, and they knew this was a great miracle. Mm-hmm. Amen. And when you look at it, amen, between him, Jesus giving sight back to the blind Bartimaeus and his companion, giving Zacchaeus and telling Zacchaeus that I come to seek and save that which is lost, and Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead, all of that was pointing to the fact that Jesus is God.
Yes.
Amen? Amen. Mm-hmm. All of it pointed to that. And so now it comes where he comes riding in on the donkey. Amen? And people have come from all over the place because they're seeing Jesus do miraculous things. But what's interesting about it here in John, it says that the people in verse 17 who were there when he called Lazarus from the grave, it says they bear record. Mm-hmm. What does that mean, they bear record? It means they told other folk. They were there and they told other folk. They were there and they testified so that people who weren't there found out.
Yes.
See, that's why you and I got to open our mouth. When God does something for you, you got to bear record.
Amen.
Amen. Don't keep it to yourself. Bear record, because somebody who wasn't there needs to hear what God has done for you. Because that may get them to come out and see God for themselves.
Amen.
Bear record. Amen. Don't let the devil keep your mouth shut. Bear record. Amen. I'm telling people what God has done for me. Amen. I'm going to bear record, because somebody may hear that thing, and you never know. They may come and say, I want to see this one, what? For myself.
Yes.
Amen. Bear record. And so they bear record of what Jesus had done. And so all these people are out there, and we know the story. Amen. The other gospels tell about how Jesus told two disciples to go and get the donkey. Mm-hmm. Tell them what? The Lord has need of them. Amen. And he bought the donkey. Man never rode on that donkey. And Jesus got on it. And we know what they've done. Amen. People were putting their clothes. They're taking off their jackets, Brother Jane. They're taking off their suit jackets. Women were taking off the jackets to their two-piece skirt suits and stuff. And laying it in the way. And then there were some who were going, I just got this. Amen. And I'm telling you, when some of your cousins were there, amen. They go, I got it. I just bought this. You better give it up, amen.
Amen.
And they put it out in the road, and others have palm branches, amen. And they're waving them, and the Bible says, amen, that they're shouting out Hosanna, which means please save, or save now. And they're calling, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen. And we know they're talking about Jesus, amen, because Jesus came in the name of the Lord. But I want you to understand something, amen. Listen, It is up to you and I to determine how we come. What do I mean by that? In other words, when you come into your workplace, when you come into your school, when you come into church, when you come into any place in which you come, how do you come? In whose name do you come?
Exactly.
See, because if you come in the name of the Lord, the scripture says, blessed is he who what? Comes in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
So see, when you and I walk into a situation, we come in blessed. Somebody said, well, I'm going to bless you. No, you don't understand. I came into this exchange blessed. Why? Because I came in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. It's up to you. Amen. Listen, we got to take scriptures and live them out. We have to take them and say, this is who I am.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
I remember I was praying years ago, and the Lord told me something. You ever, God ever tell you things and they stick with you forever?
Yes.
And God told me something. He told me, he said, everywhere you go in the name of the Lord. When I heard that, I said, everywhere I go in the name of the Lord.
Yes.
Amen? Think about that. God lives on the inside of you, doesn't he, Sister Christine?
Yes, sir.
That means everywhere you go, God goes with you.
Yes. Amen.
You can't leave God home. You can think you leave God home, but if God lives on the inside of you, everywhere you go, God goes with you. Amen. So when I walk in, amen, make way, amen, the king's coming. Not me, but the king that lives on the inside of me.
Yes.
Come on. Amen. You're blessed. I'm blessed. Why? Because when we come how? In the name of the Lord. That brings you victory.
Yes.
You remember what David told Goliath? You come at me with a sword and a spear and a shield, but I come at you what? In the name of the Lord of hosts. Right?
Yes.
And he was swinging all the while.
Yes.
Amen. So next time, you know what? I'm telling you, I'm going to walk to a business meeting like this next time. Then I said, what are you doing? Next business meeting I have, I'm going to walk in.
Yes.
What are
you doing? What's the matter? What's the matter? Nothing. That day I had a whole room doing it. They think it's a new dance or something, amen.
Yes,
sir. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. But if you come in the name of the Lord, you have the covenant of God, and you have the anointing of God to remove burdens and destroy yokes and to get the victory. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. And so, you know, yeah, we come in the name of the Lord. But they said, listen, they said, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But now I want to look at something here. Amen. Let's look at verse number 14. It said, when he had found a young donkey, he sat on it, amen. And then it says, as it is written, fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh sitting on a donkey's colt. Some of your Bibles, amen, may have some references in it for that scripture so that the as it is written makes some sense for you. Some of your Bibles may have Zechariah 9 and 9. Mm-hmm. Some of them may have Isaiah 40 and 9. And we're going to look at both of those, amen. But Jesus, how many of you know? Jesus was fulfilling scripture.
Yeah.
When he came in riding on the donkey. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just something that happened just because. It was something that Jesus did to fulfill the scripture. And Jesus said, that's what I've come to do, amen. I've come to fulfill the scripture.
Amen.
And I'm glad he comes to fulfill the scriptures, amen. And because it proved that God is true.
Amen.
So as it is written, fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh sitting on a donkey. So let's look at Zechariah 9 and 9. And Zechariah is probably a book that you don't read often. So if you go to Matthew and you turn toward the front, you should come to Malachi, and after Malachi, you come to Zechariah. That should make it easy, amen? Amen. Go to Matthew, keep turning, toward the front of your Bible. If you don't know which way is the front, I can't help you. And if you don't find it, go to the other front. Amen. And you go past Matthew, you come to Malachi, and then you'll come to Zechariah. Amen. Are you there? Amen. So we're in Zechariah 9:9. Let's look at that together. Because this is the scripture that Jesus fulfilled when he came riding in on the donkey. Amen. Look what it says. It says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee." That's good news right there, first of all. Amen. It says, "Behold, your king comes unto you. He is just, he's righteous, and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon a donkey, and upon the colt, the foal of a donkey." Amen? Amen. Amen. This is the scripture Jesus is fulfilling when he comes riding in on the donkey. Amen. Zechariah 9:9. And what does Zechariah 9:9 tell us to do? It tells us that we should what? Rejoice. Amen. That we should rejoice. Why? It says, because your king, not the king. Yeah. See, it's personal. It says, your king is coming. Mm-hmm. Amen. But see, Jesus is only your king if you made him your king.
That's right.
At some point in your life, you have to make a decision. Yeah. Amen. See, you know, when Jesus asked Peter, "Who do men say that I am?" He said, "Well, some say that you're Isaiah. Some say, you know, you're one of the prophets." You know, and they said, "But who do you say that I am?"
Yeah, yeah.
And he said, "Thou art the Christ." The Christ meaning the Messiah. "Thou art the Messiah, the Son of God." And it's good to know that Jesus is that. I mean, some people don't know that. Mm-hmm. You need to know that.
Right.
But even after you know that, here's the thing. You can't just know that Jesus is the Messiah. You have to take the step to make Jesus your Messiah.
Amen. Amen.
You have to make a choice. Amen. You have to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. Amen. That Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead.
Yes.
You have to do that.
Yes.
Listen, there's nobody in this place, nobody anywhere who's going to heaven because their grandmama was saved.
That's right.
There's nobody going to heaven because your mama was saved. Mm-hmm. All you PKs out there, it don't matter your mom and dad or the preachers and the head of the church. Amen. If you're not saved,
amen.
Amen. You have to make your election sure, amen. And you have to say, "Jesus is my king."
Yes.
And how do you do that? You have to confess him for yourself. Amen. And when you do, Zechariah 9 says, Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Why? Because your king. See, now I can say that. If Jesus is your Lord, you can say, My king is coming.
Amen.
Amen. And look how he comes. He don't come empty-handed. Amen. He comes, what? Having salvation. Come on, somebody. Having salvation. What is salvation? Salvation means that you and I are saved from danger and suffering.
Amen.
Now, but we got to understand that we suffer in this world, don't we?
Amen.
Think it not strange when you go through your fiery trials. Amen?
Yeah.
The godly shall suffer persecution. But here's the thing, what we're saved from. We're saved from the wrath of God that is to come. Because how many of you know God's going to judge this earth and this world of sin? How many of you know that?
Yes,
but you and I are saved from the wrath of God's judgment. Amen?
Amen.
That's why we rejoice. We are saved from the wrath that God has stored up to judge sin.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
That's why there's no more enmity with God between us. Amen. Why? Because we are now covered by the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
We are the righteousness of God in Christ.
Yes.
Amen. And we are saved from the wrath that is to come.
Yes.
And all you who are out there scoffing and mocking God's people, you better understand something. God is true. Let God be true and every man alive. There's going to come a day where God is going to judge the sin that's in the earth. Amen. Amen. And if you have not made Jesus your Lord, you are not going to be saved from the wrath to come.
That's true.
This is not said to scare people. This is just truth. Now you decide what you want to do with the truth.
Amen.
You can try to bury it. You can try to put it in the back of your mind. You can try to put it in your back pocket. Listen, the truth can't be buried. They tried that already. They put Jesus in the tomb, and the truth rose on the third day. So the truth cannot be buried.
That's right.
You can't push it aside.
That's right.
You're going to have to confront it, and you're going to have to make a decision. Amen. And everybody in here is praying that those who don't know the Lord make the decision today to make Jesus their Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Why? Because if you do that, you are saved for all eternity from the wrath that is to come.
That's true.
Amen. That's why you and I can rejoice. Amen.
Yeah.
Even though you're going through some stuff, you can still rejoice right now.
Yeah.
Right? Why? Because you're saved from the wrath that is to come.
Yeah.
You have a hope. Amen. You have a hope. Amen. You can look and you know, listen, I'm going through some stuff now, but there's going to come a day where God's going to take away all my pain, where God's going to wipe every tear from my eyes, where God is going to just, I'm just going to be able to spend time with the Lord forever and ever. I have that testimony. So yeah, I'm going through some stuff right now, but I can still lift up my hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. But I thought you were broke. I am broke. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget not all his benefits. But I thought they took your car. They did take my car. But I still can bless the Lord.
Yes.
And why? Because my heart and my mind is not on the things on this earth, but it's on things above. I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world. I've been called out of darkness and into his marvelous light.
Yes.
And so I got something to be happy about all the time, even when things don't seem to be going right for me.
Amen.
Why? Because I'm saved. I am saved from the wrath to come.
Yeah.
So rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Why? Because your king comes unto you. He's righteous and having salvation.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, also, we talked about that in Isaiah 40 and 9. Amen. Let's take a look at Isaiah 40 and verse 9. Keep turning toward the front. You get to Jeremiah, keep going. Amen. And you'll get to Isaiah right after Jeremiah. Amen. If you're turning, you know, going toward the front. If you started from the front, you're going to get to Isaiah first. Amen. Isaiah 40 and verse number 9. Amen. Isaiah 40 and 9. Let's look at that together. Oh, you know, but as you do that, I want to read something to you. I want to read Zechariah chapter 9. As you turn to Isaiah, I want to read Zechariah 9 and 9 in the Message version. It says, "Shout and cheer, daughter Zion. Raise the roof, daughter Jerusalem. Your king is coming, a good king who makes all things right." Glory to God. I mean, how many of you know, Jesus makes all things right.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Jesus does all things well, the Bible says. Amen. And listen, he makes all things right. And I know that at any point in time in our life, we can all testify, everything's not right in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody in here right now today can say everything is right with you? Right? We all got some issues.
Yeah.
Praise God for that, because that means that we all are still in need of Jesus.
That's right.
Amen. And we're still in need, and we're searching, and we're looking, and we're praying, and we're believing. Amen. Amen. And we're filled with hope, and we're still walking in faith.
Yeah.
Amen. Because we know that God is faithful, that he's made promises, he's going to keep it. But we shout because a good king, our good king, is coming, and he makes all things right. Amen. Amen. Jesus will make things right in your life. Amen. People try to mess you up on purpose. I have people who try to mess me up on purpose. You ever have people like that?
Mm-hmm.
They just try to get in the way. They try to mess up your mood. They try to mess you up. I mean, there are some people who may not be able to relate to this, but, you know, the business world, and in fact, this world generally, is a cold, cold world.
Yes.
And there are people, you have co-workers, I'm telling you, you may not even know it. They are out to get you.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes.
There are people who are out to get you.
Yeah.
And it may be a passive aggressiveness. They may not help you when they can.
Yeah.
You know, they may try to withhold things that they could give to you.
Yeah.
They have information, but they don't share it with you. And now you run around, you know, doing things and taking much longer to get it done because you don't have that information. But they don't understand, amen, that if you continue to stand in faith and continue to rejoice, your King is coming, and he will make all things right.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
So that's why you got to fight with folk.
Yeah.
You don't have to fight with folk. That's why we just sang that song, amen. Let God arise.
Amen.
Let God arise in your situation, and your enemies will be scattered.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. But everything's not right, and people aren't all on our side. But see, but if God be for us,
amen.
Amen. If God is for us, who can be against us? And so I don't have to worry about the joker who's trying to keep me back.
That's right.
If anything, I pray for him. Lord, be merciful to him. Amen.
That's right.
Because he messing with one of God's kids.
That's right. That's right. That's
true.
How do you feel when somebody messes with one of your kids?
Right.
You be like, yo. You like, yeah? You want to mess with my kid? I didn't talk to him like that, but you can. You know what I mean? You don't want nobody messing with your kid. You think God's going to stand by while the devil uses somebody to mess with you and shrug his shoulders? That's why you pray to God, be merciful unto them, Lord. They lied on me, but be merciful unto them. Amen. We're in Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 9. Amen. In the King James Version, it says, O Zion, that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountains. O Jerusalem, that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God.
Yeah.
Amen. 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 Behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come. And how does he come? With strong hand. That's with power. And his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him.
Amen.
So you see here, amen, again, there's this call to God's people to rejoice, to be not afraid, amen. Why? Because your King is coming. And I love what Isaiah says. It says here, behold your God. And he's coming with power. He's coming with reward in his hand. And again, I want to take a moment to read it out of the Message version. Amen. It says, climb a high mountain, Zion. You are the preacher of good news. Raise your voice. Make it good and loud, Jerusalem. You are the preacher of good news. How many of you are preachers of good news?
Amen.
Don't say amen. Don't just say amen, go we in church. How many of you are preachers of good news? There's a lot of people out there who preach bad news.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
How do you know if you're a preacher of good news? Let's take a test. When something bad happens to you on that day, when your spouse comes home, when your mama comes home, when your daddy comes home, when your best friend comes home, do you start telling them the bad stuff that happened to you today? It got quiet, Lord. Because see, those are preachers of bad news.
Amen.
Think on things that are true, honest, just, lovely, of good report.
Amen.
Do you talk about the traffic jam? Or do you talk about the God who allowed you to be on time despite the traffic jam?
Amen.
Because if you talk about the traffic jam, you're a preacher of bad news. But if you say there was some traffic out there, but somehow God allowed me to arrive on time, you're a preacher of good news.
Amen.
Some of us just hand it back our preacher credentials. Because when I first said it, we said, amen.
Still said
amen. Praise God. Amen. We call things that be not.
Though they were. Amen.
But but it says, listen, it says, but we are preachers of good news. Amen. Why? Because we got good news on the inside. Jesus saves is good news. Amen. And it says, raise your voice. Make it good and loud, Jerusalem. You're the preacher of good news. Speak loud and clear. Don't be timid. Tell the cities of Judah, look, your God. Look at him. God the Master comes in power. I love this part. Ready to go into action.
Yeah.
See, I love that. See, our God is ready to go into action. He's going to make all things right. It says in Zechariah 9:9. And here it says, God is coming ready to go into action. He is going to pay back his enemies. Uh-oh, we're hearing that again. Don't you try to get him back, amen? He's going to pay back his enemies, and watch this, and reward those who have loved him.
Amen.
So, in the triumphal entry, amen, the scriptures that Jesus fulfilled, as it is written, when he come riding on the donkey, Zechariah 9:9, Isaiah 40:9. And God is saying unto us today, amen, behold your God.
Yes.
Amen. Behold your God, because he's coming. Amen. He's coming into your life. He's coming into your situation. Right now, you're going through some stuff, but God is saying to you, behold your God. Why? Because he's coming in. He's ushering himself in. If you would welcome God into your situation, he will come in. If you welcome Jesus into your situation, he will come in. And how's he going to come? He's going to come to make all things right. He's going to come ready for action. He's going to come with his power, and he's going to come with his reward.
Yeah.
But we have to behold him. And what does it mean to behold? What does it mean to behold? Sometimes we've been talking about busyness. And see, sometimes busyness gets in the way of us beholding God.
Wow. That's true.
It gets in the way of us beholding Jesus. See, we can't take glances at him as we're rushing from here to there. Amen? You know, I was watching the Black-ish last year, amen. At first, I didn't want to watch that show. Mm-hmm. It sounded like a show that I wouldn't like. Mm-hmm. Black-ish. I watched that show, and they had an episode where the father was trying to teach the son how to give the head nod. You remember that? He was trying to teach him how to get a head nod. When you were a man, you walk down the street and you see another brother charming, and he just go like this. He's trying to teach him that. See, because if you don't grow up certain way, you don't know that. See, you gotta live certain places, amen, and have certain things where you understand. You walk down the street, you go. It's quick.
True.
And some are so quick you can't even see it. Do you even see that? Like, you know what I'm You know, we ain't getting a little head now. And what we say, that head now says something. Say, what's up, man?
Yeah.
I see you. Right? There's no head now. And see, that may be okay if you're black or black-ish. But let me tell you something, amen. Some of us not have to stop giving little head nods to Jesus.
Amen.
See, because we're going around our day, and Jesus right there, we go, nah, that ain't good enough. You can't be giving head nods to Jesus.
Exactly.
Huh? You got to behold your God.
Yeah.
You got to take some time to look at him, to gaze upon him, to appreciate him, yeah, to admire him, to acknowledge him.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
Don't be giving no little head nod.
Yeah.
Some of us so busy, we just nod to Jesus. It's like, we think he, like, yeah, that's how that relationship I got with my God. No. Scripture says,
yeah,
what? Behold your God. And to behold, amen, behold means, amen, that we perceive through sight. But what does perceive mean? To perceive means that we become aware of, or we become conscious of. That we come to a point where we realize, we come to a point where we understand. See, so when you behold God, amen, you are not just looking at him, but you're becoming aware of and conscious of he's God. Amen. He's the God that created all this. Amen. He's the God that created all this. Amen. I'm conscious of it, and I come to be aware of, and I come to understand what it means that this God who made all this is on my side. The God who made all this is mindful of me. Oh, amen. See, but that only comes when you behold him. When you behold him in the scriptures. When you behold him in things around you. Watch this. Turn with me to Exodus chapter... Exodus chapter 3. Y'all don't know what Exodus is.
Right after Genesis.
That's right. It's right after Genesis. That's an easy one. The first five don't count. If you don't know the first five, Sunday school starts at 9 o'clock. Amen? Coming on Sunday. We'll go through that. But let's look at Exodus chapter 3. This is when God introduces himself to Moses at the burning bush. Now watch this. It says, Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he, Moses, led the flock to the backside of the desert, and he came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Why the bush is not burnt? And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush. You see what happened here, right? God was showing himself to Moses. And what was Moses doing? Moses was working, y'all. He was on the job. He was taking care of the flock of his father-in-law. He was working. He was working, but God still showed up in a way and showed himself in the burning bush. Mm-hmm. But the Bible says that Moses looked at it and said, what's going on here? Mm-hmm. But importantly, it says he turned aside. Mm-hmm. In other words, he turned away from what he was doing and said, nah, I got to see what's going on. Mm-hmm. And he came closer to look. And verse 4 says, and when the Lord saw that he turned aside. Some versions say, when the Lord saw that he came closer, God said something to Moses. Understand, God didn't speak to Moses until Moses put aside what he was doing.
Yes.
And put his focus on God.
Yes.
See, some of us are waiting to hear from God, but we don't want to put aside what we're doing. I'm too busy working. I'm not putting it aside. I got my shows coming on. I'm not putting it aside. I got to watch the game. I'm not putting it aside. I got to go to the gym. I'm not putting it aside. And yet we want God to speak. I'm telling you now, God speaks to people who put stuff aside.
Amen.
And say, I want to see what's going on here, Lord.
Yes. Yes.
Because when God saw Moses put stuff aside, he then said, Moses. If Moses would have stayed with the flock, God would have said nothing to him.
That's true.
Wow.
That's true.
But when he saw Moses put aside the flock, I know I got some work to do, Lord, but I'm coming to see what you're up to.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
I know I got some laundry downstairs, Lord, but I got to see what you're up to.
Yes.
I know I got some homework, but I got to see what you're up to.
Yes.
When you put some stuff aside, then God will speak to you. Amen.
Yes.
Why? Because you're taking time to behold him. See, you take time to behold him. You're taking time to look and to perceive and to come to be aware of and to understand, to appreciate and to acknowledge. Look at what God is doing. And now God speaks and says something.
Wow.
He allows you to perceive. Amen. That's why he's saying unto us, behold your God.
Yes.
Amen. Okay. Don't give him no head nod. Take some time, put some stuff aside and say, Lord, I'm focusing my heart, my mind, and my attention on you.
Yes.
And notice, it doesn't have to be for a long period of time.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. You can still do your job. I don't want no man who hearing this on in here or on the DVD or the CD. I don't want your wife coming home early from work one day this week and find you on the couch in your robe eating popcorn and watching ESPN Sports Center, and they said, "What are you doing home from work?" I'm beholden the Lord. Because you don't got to stay home from work. Moses was working, but he took a little time to behold God.
Yeah.
He put aside for a little time. He didn't say he quit. He didn't resign.
Exactly.
He just put it aside. And after God spoke, he went back.
Exactly.
Steward must be found faithful. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Behold God. Behold God. Take time to see what God is doing. Put some stuff aside. Put it aside. Come back to it. Because nothing's more important than you hearing what God got to say.
Amen.
Last thing I want to do, I want to point this idea of perceiving. I just want to show you something. Because I want to, King David. Let's look at 2 Samuel chapter 5. You can turn there with me. 2 Samuel chapter 5. In 2 Samuel 5, when you get there, and the easiest thing I can tell you is 2 Samuel is after 1 Samuel. And when you get there, and you look at verse number 11, and I want us to get there together because I want us to see this together because it's a very revealing scripture. And hopefully it's something that's going to fill you with some patience in your walk with God. How many of you know we need to walk with faith and patience?
Amen.
Amen. As the scripture says, in order to inherit the promises, it takes a combination of faith and patience, right? Amen. So, let's look at 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse number 11. And it says, "And Hiram, king of Tyre, sent messengers to David, and cedar trees and carpenters and masons, and they built David a house. And David perceived that the Lord had established him king over Israel, and that he had exalted his kingdom for his people Israel's sake." Now, we were talking about that beholding God is to perceive, amen, that he's God.
Mm-hmm.
To become aware that he's God. To become conscious that he's God. To come to realize or to understand that he's God. Perceiving sometimes takes time. And the Lord leads us to the scripture because if you look in verse 4 of 2 Samuel 5, it says David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. In Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months, and in Jerusalem, he reigned 30 and 3 years over all Israel and Judah. Because we know that the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom were divided. And David became king over the southern kingdom first, over Judah. And he reigned over Judah for 7 years and 6 months. And then it wasn't until that time where he then became king over the northern kingdom as well.
Yes.
And he reigned over all of Israel together, northern and southern kingdom, for 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
So he's already reigning over Judah for 7.5 years. But even prior to that, when David was a teenager, Samuel came to him and anointed him as king.
That's right.
He told him, "You're going to be king of Israel." So David walked around, he had been anointed, and he walked around with this, you know, that he knew he had a promise of God on his life. "I'm going to be king of Israel." Amen. And then he became king of Judah, and he's king for 7 years. Then he becomes king of all of Israel for a certain period of time. And then the king of Tyre comes and builds him a house. And then he perceives he's king.
Yeah.
Think about that. All these years of knowing he was going to be king, all these years of actually being king, there came a day where he now perceived he was king.
Yeah.
Sometimes perceiving takes time.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen? To truly understand who you are takes some time. To truly understand who you are in God takes some time. And also, to truly perceive who God is takes some time.
Yes.
And so when the scriptures say, "Behold your God," It's telling you to perceive him, but understand that that perceiving sometimes takes some time. Sometimes you got to go through some stuff before you can perceive God for who he is. You got to go through some stuff before you perceive God to be your healer. Before you perceive God to be your way maker. You got to go through some stuff. So we put these together. And God is saying unto us, amen, as we look at the triumphal entry and we see Jesus fulfilling Old Testament scripture, behold your God. Amen. Amen. Behold your God. Why? Because he's coming with salvation. Amen. He's coming to make all things right. He's coming with power and with a reward. He's coming ready for action. God is coming ready for action. But you and I have to behold him. We have to behold him like Moses beheld him. Put aside some stuff. Amen. God spoke to Moses out of a burning bush. I'm telling you right now, God has tried to speak to some of you out of a burning sunrise or a burning sunset, but you didn't want to put aside what you were doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Behold your God. Take some time to put it. Do you know, glory to God. Do you know one time Sister Vanell and I were coming from church? And he said, you're some weird folk anyway. That's right. We're peculiar people. And we were coming from Sunday school. No, we were coming from Bible study one day in the summer. And do you know what we did? We went chasing the sun.
Yes, we did.
Why? Because we saw this big orange, like it was, the sun was starting to set, but it was big and it was orange. And we saw it as we were driving, but as we got closer to our house, it was like it was behind the school and everything else. So we went over toward the school. We was chasing the sun. Why? Because we just wanted to take a picture.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah.
Listen, there's times where God is talking to you out of the sunrise or the sunset, but you're not putting aside your stuff.
That's true.
You can say, well, God talked to me out of the burning bush. I was like, God is talking all the time. He's talking all the time. He's talking from the sunrise. He's talking in the sunset.
Yes.
One of the things that when some of you, you know, you didn't live in the suburbs all your life. You lived out in the city.
Yeah.
Where you can't even see the sky.
That's right.
You come out to the suburb, you can see sky, Jack.
Amen.
How many of you have stopped at night and looked up just to see all the stars just twinkling? See, that's God speaking, but you got to put aside some stuff.
Yes.
Behold your God. Mm-hmm. Huh?
Yes.
God is there, but he wants us to take the time to behold him. And if we do this enough, there will come a point in time where we will reach that level of perception. Where we will understand and become aware of and become conscious of, this is my God.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
God is saying, behold your God. Amen. Yes. Behold your God. Yes. Amen. It's got to be your God. Amen. When Jesus showed himself to doubting Thomas and showed the nail prints, you know, Thomas said, my Lord and my God.
Yes.
Amen. He's got to be yours. Amen. He's got to be yours. So listen, I'm just praying, amen, you know, as we just sort of put our minds back into the triumphal entry, we need to understand something. That some of these people who were beholding God on that day, were beholding Jesus and saying Hosanna and all that, and they were all excited because he raised Lazarus, and they were all excited because he healed blind Bartimaeus, and they were all excited because he forgave their kids and all that good stuff. I'm telling you this, by the end of the week, some of those same ones were saying, crucify him, crucify him.
That's right.
They had short memory.
Yes, they did.
They were yelling on Sunday, uh-oh, Lord, see, now they ain't going to like me. They were yelling on Sunday,
yeah.
But by Tuesday or Wednesday, they were saying, I ain't doing that. See, they were saying amen on Sunday.
Yeah.
But Wednesday rolled around.
Amen.
And they weren't in amen. They weren't in amen spirit.
Amen.
We got to pray for a long memory.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
We got to pray that we can remember. Amen. That after we behold, we can continue to remember. That's my Lord and my God. Amen. See, because I don't want to get to the end of the week, amen, and be yelling something different. I don't want to be yelling on Sunday, the Lord say. I don't want to be yelling on Sunday, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. I don't want to be yelling on Sunday, amen, and then by Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I forgot.
Wow.
Amen, amen, amen.
Behold your God, amen. Take time to continue to look at him and gaze upon him and to appreciate him and to worship him. Amen?
Yes.
And then pray for that knowledge and that perception as you perceive who he is to stay with you
yes.
no matter what you go through. Because how many of you know when you leave here on Sunday, when you leave the service on Wednesday, or whatever day the service is, you leaving and you going out into some stuff.
Yes.
Because
yes.
they were waiting for you out there trying to steal your praise and to steal your joy.
That's right.
Trying to steal your peace.
That's right.
Yes.
But if you, in the midst of all that, can continue to behold your God, amen,
amen,
amen. Amen. You will experience the salvation that your God is bringing with him.
Yeah.
You will experience the power that your God is bringing with him. You will experience, amen, the reward that your God is bringing with him.
Yes.
Amen. 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 And so the prayer today is, amen, that for all of us, if we're hearing God saying unto us, behold your God. Amen. Amen. Behold
your God.
Your God. Amen. Because he's entering into your life anytime you want him to enter into your life. And he comes to make all things right. And he comes, I love this, ready for action.
Ready for action.
Amen. I'm glad we have a God who's ready for action.
Amen.
Huh?
Yes.
Ain't no God who needs to be, you got to wake him up. Come on. Now, he's ready for action.
Amen.
He comes saying, let me at him. Amen. Glory to God. Behold your God. Amen. As you sit there, man, we're going to stand on our feet and pray. I just want to read a couple of verses from Hebrews chapter 10 to you. Amen. Verse 35, it says, Cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry.
Amen.
Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition or destruction, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Amen?
Amen.
We are not them that draw back. We don't turn back, right?
Amen.
We've come this far with God, and we're not turning back.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
We behold God, and we're not turning back.
Amen.
We're not like those who turn back. We're not quitters. We're not turning in the other direction. But we are going to be those who are going to continue to draw nigh unto God. And he'll draw nigh unto us to the saving of the soul. Amen. Amen. Let's stand on my feet together and pray to this wonderful God. Behold your God. Amen. Glory to God. Father, we thank you. Hallelujah. We thank you. We praise you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, God. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for entering into our lives. Hallelujah. We thank you, God, for the triumphal entry into our own lives, oh God. How you have come with salvation. You've come with power. You've come, oh God, with reward. You are a just and true God. You are a good God, a forgiving God, a God who makes all things right, a God who comes ready for action, a God who is on our side, a God like none other. And we lift you up and we praise you, God, and we thank you, Lord. Hallelujah for the gift that we have in Jesus. Father, we give you praise. We thank you, Lord, that through the Christ Jesus, we are able to come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. We thank you that as we stand here today, God, that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and we are in right standing with you. That we don't have to run and hide like Adam did, oh God.
Yes.
He heard you coming. He ran and he hid.
Yes.
But Father God, we can stand flat-footed, oh God, knowing that you are smiling down upon us with love. Father, we thank you on today. And we thank you that Jesus is Lord. We thank you that Jesus is God, that Jesus is the Savior of the world, and he is our Savior. He is our Lord and our God. And we hear your voice today saying, behold your God. Gaze upon him. Admire him. Oh God, worship him. We hear you calling us unto a deeper place of praise, a deeper place of reverence, a deeper place of honor. We hear you telling us, turn aside some things and gaze upon the Lord. Behold your God. We hear you, oh God, as you speak unto us, saying that as we do that, we will come to a deeper place of understanding of who Jesus is as the Lord of the earth and who we are as his disciples. And so, Father, we give you praise and thanks, God, as you continue to call us closer to you. We hear your voice, God. We hear you speaking. And Father God, we are listening unto you, oh God. And not only listening, but God, we are doing. We are doers of the word. And we give you praise for it in the name of Jesus. Father, it's my prayer for everyone under the sound of my voice. That God, that you will bless them. That God, that you will reveal yourself unto them. Oh Father God, that you will give them their own burning bush. Their own beautiful sunrise. Their own beautiful sunset. That God, that you will speak to them through the clouds in the air. That you will speak to them through nature. That you will speak to them through the people in their lives. That you will speak to them, oh God, in the way Jesus spoke and taught. Using parables and taking natural things and making great spiritual teachings and points unto your people. God, I pray that you will show yourself unto your people. And that they will take time to turn aside from some things. To behold it and to appreciate it. And to walk away perceiving things that they didn't know before. Yes. Father, I thank you right now for the increase in wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. I thank you right now, oh God, that we are walking closer to you than ever before. I thank you, God, that we shall see miracle signs and wonders in our midst like never before in the name of Jesus Christ as we behold our God. And we give you the praise and we give you the thanks for it in the name of Jesus. Now, God, I just pray that you will bless your people with your Holy Spirit, oh God. That Father God, that you will bless them with your angels from heaven. That will shield them, oh God, from the works of the enemy that will try to steal this word immediately, oh God. We rebuke the devil in the name of Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus against the demons, oh God, that have been assigned to your people in the name of Jesus. And we say that every plan, trick, and a device, oh God, of the devil is of none effect against your people. And that this word that has been sown in our heart shall bear fruit in the name of Jesus. And the glorious harvest that shall come will be to the praise of your glory and honor. And we thank you for it. We bless you for it. We honor you for it now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. 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 Behold your God.